January 10th, 2004, it's the Watt from Pedro Show.
Thank you.
Watt from Pedro show. Whoops.
In stereo.
Yeah, I got the little playback there. That was Mr. Jimmy Garrison on the bass there from John Coltrane's Live in Cielo album. You know, John Coltrane gig and stuff, but they got to let the bass player have some. So that's a song that Jimmy Garrison wrote called Tapestry and Sound. Pretty wild record. I very much recommend Live in Seattle. Oh, man. A lot of cats. You don't see it mentioned a lot, you know. But it was some wild, wild stuff. Pharoah Sanders, Coy Tyner, of course, Elvin Jones. But actually, Donald Garrett also played bass and bass clarinet. But some of the tunes, there's like two basses, which is kind of cool. This is maybe recorded a year before he died. Year and a half, 2 years before. So sad about John Coltrane. But he did live a lot of life, put out a lot of records. And I have to say, it's kind of sad for today. They're burying my friend Rick Van Satten, and he's a great guy to me. Sweetheart. Never had the nerve really to go to a funeral or anything. So I'm not there, but I'm kind of there in spirit. Miss you much, Rick. You too, Martin. A couple of weeks before. Joe Boone, D. Boone's brother, gave me a bunch of T-Rex. And one of these things is an interview with Mark Bolan. In 1971, of course, Mark Bolan was T-Rex. T-Rex was kind of the electric version of Tyrannosaurus Rex. But he'll tell you all about it in this interview. It's recorded in 1971, a year that I saw them. It was my first gig. And done here at K-Day, radio station here in Los Angeles. And it was like kind of a rock station then. Then it moved on to like soul music. It was still pretty good. They even did live rap and mixing and stuff like that.
That's a cool
it was
stuff.
Wild. I used to work right there, 43rd and by Leimert Park, 43rd Street in Crenshaw. Mr. Hanley worked for this old lawyer, and it was right across the street from K-Day. And they'd have speakers out there and playing right on the sidewalk. So anyway, here's Mark Bolan. Talking about his life with music and all kinds of trippy things. Watt from Pedro show.
Put this over.
Okay, dude.
Good luck, dude. Okay.
Much.
Yeah. Do what you want.
You say, talk. Let me ask. The book. I'm hip to the book.
Yeah.
You drunk on my drink, you. I'm telling Penny Band.
I think the first thing.
Very nice to meet you. That's right. I can't blow my mind. Sorry.
We more or less wanted to get into.
Well, let's get into. I can't apologize enough for it. I sound like some fucking American all this apologizing bullshit.
Yeah, so don't.
Well.
No, I do because I feel it, man. Yeah. I mean, if I didn't, I wouldn't say it, you know? So let's rock.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask about.
What?
About what? The transition, more or less, from the folk. You know,
the transition comes through the need to communicate with more people than I had done in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel I only have 5 years that I want to give to rock and roll in the way that I'm doing now. I'm going to be a movie maker, I write books, and my time is very limited, and I love human beings.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't feel I have the stamina to continue for the next 40 years the way many people have.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't want to do it. I have many things that I haven't even gotten into, and I want to do them now, and I want it fast. For no material gain, only to make people's hearts feel good.
Yeah.
So that's five years.
Does that 5 years start from, you know,
5 years started
right away
from right away swan. Early stuff I don't disown. That was my beginning.
Sort of a different phase.
It was my apprenticeship.
Mm-hmm.
I'm mainstream now, man. Before that I was in no bag. I accept being mainstream now.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I wanna be hip AM, if you know what I mean. Which to me the Who, Hendrix, Cream were.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's my bag, man. I don't want to be a cultist group because I have more to offer than that. People have more to offer. I don't want to be put in any bag, man. I'd rather be a lion tamer.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm feeling good. Fine.
Oh, I'm glad. Okay,
yeah,
as far as
I'm tired, man.
Did
I
you just
slept?
Yeah, I could have believed that. But would you think that before you made the transition, did you think that what you had to offer in the new rock style would be commercial AM? Is that what, or to reach more people, did you say, well, that's what I'm going to do, and so I'm going to change it, and I'm going to have this style? Or were you more or less open to say, well, I'll try this style if it doesn't work?
No. I never, at any point...
Mm-hmm.
It's very hard. Everything. It's very weird about when I talk with people. So I always sound as a cunt. I'm good at what I do because I don't do it until I've spent a long time learning how to do it. Do you understand? I don't rush into anything. The only album I'm not happy with is Bit of Stars because I ventured into electric guitar long before I should have done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't play it well enough for what I was attempting to do. Although I love the songs on that album, I don't...
No, I'm surprised that you don't like that album.
No, I just...
Well, I'm not happy with
it. I love the album. But I personally, there are certain moments when I go, you know, I cringe. Because I, you know, I was a bit up on turning my 100-watt amp, my Marshall amp full up, you know what I mean? Which everyone does. And I shouldn't have done that. Which is why practically now I don't do any guitar solos. Although I think I'm a fucking good guitar player now.
Why don't you do the solos if you have?
I do live. Now this is Get Metal America. Live in England, man. I do Get It On. It's 20 minutes long.
Uh-huh.
It's filled with guitar solo.
Uh-huh.
I blow my head off, but I play for the audience.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
It's like the Elton John concert thing. Did you see the cuttings on that? Have you flashed on that?
Which concert?
I'll show it if you haven't already played. But. There are certain points where one likes to play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and I now feel, at that point I was playing to prove that I was no longer, I don't know, a heavy Donovan, really.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to prove that I was a lookout man, I'm really Mark Hendricks, you know, which I got over that one. And now I'm just a guitar player, and I'm a songwriter. I missed the... Come back to the first question, because I've moved on.
Oh, that was about...
Someone bang the toilet seat.
Bang. That sounds like another song.
Mm-hmm.
Bang the toilet seat. Get it?
Yeah. Oh, the original question was just about the transition from folk to rock. That's how...
You say folk. I was never a folk singer.
I started with
an electric rock band called John's Children.
Yeah, go ahead and ask them about that.
I started with a 1952 Les Paul. You know, and I started with a 400-watt stack.
Were
you think? I mean, that's how I started. I was never a folky.
Were you on the Smash Block?
No.
That was the big hit in
the only one we had
in the U.S.
Nothing to do with me at all.
What
was that before?
How did you join that? How did you join the band? Like, was it put together, or were you a band?
Yeah, no. The guitar player they had was pathetic, and Track Records was just formed, and they wanted a Pete Townsend of the band, and I wanted a folk poet, rock and roll, good looking superstar, boogie woogie, schmuck, you know, the old bullshit. And I was around.
Yeah.
So, hey, it's one of those. I mean, you know, I could have been anyone.
Uh-huh.
But all that happened is that I wrote Desdemona, which is a dynamite song. And it's I don't know, like here.
Is it
released
it.
Here? I wouldn't think it was.
The only thing we know from here is the other one, Smash Block.
Yeah, well. It was like a number one hit in Australia and Germany and places.
Mm-hmm.
In England, it demands incredible respect, as does My White Bicycle, which I don't know if people know, by Tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
Tomorrow?
The guitarist in it is the guy who's in Yes Now. You dudes are out of touch, man.
Well, we know Yes. But
Yes is like last week, and we're talking about
Who are we talking about? Didn't Tomorrow have Keith West?
Yeah.
Oh
man, they were the best group in fucking England
for
a week.
The teenage outfit.
Oh, but that he sold out. That was the ripoff.
Well, that's the only thing we heard here.
Though. Yeah. Well, no.
I never heard that.
Yeah. Excerpt from
Let's fill you in. Tomorrow was a group that there were three bands happening in the early underground in England. Three bands only. Fairfield Convention, mm-hmm. totally different from the one
right.
now.
Right,
totally.
Yeah, we know about that.
Yeah.
There was Arthur Brown, who mm-hmm. had his flash here for a week. There were more, there were about four or five actually. There was T-Rex, which was me and the other dude. And there was Tomorrow. We were trying mm-hmm. to be the Birds.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Howe was trying to be Jim McGuinn, or whatever his name is, Roger McGuinn. Same gig, he was trying, it's all he was trying, but they did it better.
Mm-hmm.
And they were hot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they were hot. I've never heard such a hot band. They were hot for 3 weeks. Do you ever get that here with bands? I mean, a band so hot, man, you can't believe it.
Mm-hmm. I don't really think so because
in local areas maybe.
Yeah.
No, but they were hot, man. You walked in My White Bicycle, you must check it out, man. If ever there was a million selling record, it's that one. It didn't sell anywhere. There were three records. My White Bicycle by Tomorrow, Granny Takes a Trip by the Purple Gang. Right, Dynamite, man. And Desdemona by John's Children.
Mm-hmm.
Both three records were what you would call turntable hits.
Mm-hmm.
They got massive airplay. Never saw a fucking record.
Well,
3 years too soon. Each one now will be a number one record.
You're probably right about
that. There's not a doubt. Look, Van Morrison, man, with them. I did a show with Van Morrison when I was 17. My first record is a set that's called The Wizard, and he did one called Mystic Eyes them.
Right.
And we've did a he'll hate me for saying it.
Oh, well.
We did a show called 5 o'clock. We'll print it, man. It'll blow his mind. Called 5 o'clock Club, which is a children's show, which is me and Van Morrison, right?
Mm-hmm.
For little kids that big, it was very fun. But that's what you know. There was no underground there. It was too early, man. I used to play with Cat Stevens there.
Mm-hmm.
We had a group together. We couldn't play anywhere. But there was nowhere to play.
What was that? What kind of a group was that?
Was me and him.
Well, I mean, was that like just two acoustic guitars?
Yeah, it was like, I wrote this song here. What do you think of this? I wrote this song, you know. It's one of those.
Yeah.
We couldn't get him to play, man. I used to play at his house. His old man's got a restaurant. I'd play at his house. He'd play at my house.
I mean, as far as an acoustic act being too underground.
Oh, no, look. We didn't play anywhere.
We
played on the street.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There was no gigs.
Yeah.
There was nowhere to play, you know.
Yeah.
That was even before the UFO Club.
Oh, yeah, a year before, 2 years before.
It
was happening, but no, you couldn't go anywhere. But everyone knew, look, what happened with Cat was that he got involved in I Love My Dog and that shit. He got
mm-hmm.
bullshitted with commercial rock and roll.
Mm-hmm.
And he backed off, he got very sick with TB.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. and then he rethought his head. He knew it was bad. But he gave it a shot, man. I gave it a shot. I didn't make it then.
Yeah.
But when I made it, it was much bigger in my scene. He's fortunate he made it again in his own gig.
Yeah.
Man, we know it. You know, when we have a good time, as we both know.
Yeah.
The mistakes we didn't make, man. It's one of those. God, we didn't go with Harry, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But in those days, man, to make a record was a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Now I avoid signing anything.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't sign it in. In those days, it was giving me a recording contract, man, you know.
Yeah.
The people, man, that were around, man. You know, all your biggies now, baby, they couldn't get recorded. You wouldn't believe.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't believe, you know. It's,
there were people like Rod Stewart back then.
Oh, Rod, man. Rod was like doing nothing, man. Rod
mm-hmm.
was.
Yeah.
All of us, man, we were on the street. We were, you know, $2 a gig.
How did you like?
Really, I mean, serious.
Eventually, get signed and you had that single as a soloist, I guess. As Mark
Bowen. I did four singles that did nothing at all.
How did you like? Was this after John's Children? No, this was
before. 3 years.
How did you?
You do. I don't know. I met someone who knew someone who knew someone who knew someone. Yeah. Cat called Jim O'Connor Media. There's an American dude from here. He used to produce the Beach Boys' first album. Did a Little Deuce Coup.
Mm-hmm.
So, he met me and said, "Hey man, you're going to be a big star." I said, "Cool, I am." Right on, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he sat with a dude, good man.
Mm.
He got fucked, but he's a good man. And that's how I got involved, and then I backed off. And I spent 3 years getting out of recording contract.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, I spent 5 years getting out of recording contract.
From that, your first step?
From everyone. No, it's more in story at the time.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, let's talk about something exciting, not that shit.
Oh, like from...
Oh, the history, you won't believe it. I just, the first demo I did had John Paul Jones on bass, Jimmy Page on guitar,
mm-hmm.
and Nicky Hopkins on piano.
Mm.
Had the demo,
Yeah.
We got about £1 each.
Mm. Wow.
Well, you know, but none of us were, you know, I don't know, I mean, Jimmy was pretty good. He was good.
Yeah.
But he was in a group with a guy called Neil Christian and the Crusaders.
When was this?
I mean, you know, no one remembers now.
That's
64.
Right.
64. Mm-hmm. 64. 64. You know,
The name.
Done. Yeah. America doesn't know what went down. Because, you know, to become what people consider an accomplished musician takes 10 years. You know? And when you get there, I don't know about pay your dues, baby.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, when you get there, you are undeniable. Can you understand what I mean?
What do you mean, you're there?
I don't care about you are there successfully.
As a musician?
You are a craftsman.
Yeah.
End of story.
Mm-hmm.
Whether people like it or not, it's actually their choice.
Yeah, you're right. That's it, like, you could be a craftsman and
if they don't really listen, then...
Or you don't have to be a craftsman and then they could, like,
well,
sell
we don't have to name names, do we? Right.
So
GFR, I think.
What?
Think about it for a second.
Render unto Caesar.
Oh yeah, I didn't hear what you...
Rock and Boogie.
Yeah.
Oh, we have them too, though. We have a lot of them. But, you know, everyone, you know, who has made it in America recently with any respect.
From England, you mean?
Mm-hmm. It's spent a long time doing it. Mm-hmm. Everyone.
No, that's true. How did you...
Music is such a bad.
From a rock and roller, how did you get into the Tyrannosaurus Rex and Beast Boy?
Lack of money. I left John's children and they took my electric guitar away.
Oh, they did?
They took my Les Paul and they sold it and they took my stack and food. And I had a little £12 guitar, which is $24. And that was it, man. And I had to spend part for nothing. I would never ask for money,
mm-hmm.
but people would take me home and feed me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I got into good money.
Why did you quit from the group?
I didn't quit, I left because they wanted to make me into a monkey.
You
know, I hit monkeys. That was, you know, I was telling you, it was one of those, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was a monkey. They wanted, hey kid, with your face, you're going to be a star, you know. That's what it was. And I just said, after 4 years of frightening, it put me out of action for 2 years. I couldn't get legally, I couldn't get away.
Yeah, a little bit. How those
for 2 years, I just like lived on.
And what people brought home.
Right.
Hmm.
Slept on people's floors, you know. But I wrote reams. I wrote the first album, the whole first T-Rex. I wrote on people's floors.
Hmm.
I met Steve on someone's floor. We slept on the same floor.
And that's where T-Rex came from.
That came from. Yeah. He had some bongos and he had a drum kit which he used to have, but he sold.
Yeah.
You know, it was like that, man. It was that hard, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It wasn't easy. I dug it, man. I dug it like fun, but
mm-hmm.
I like that. That's interesting. You know, success is in different.
Mm.
So we were so full.
Uh-huh. One thing. How about like your
Mark Wilson picking?
Your vocal influences. You
know. I don't have any. Ford Carr.
What?
Greta Garbo. No, I don't know. I think I can't answer that. I don't know.
Probably.
That's the only question I really can't answer.
Probably too many.
You tell me who you think. And I don't know. Actually, I don't know.
That's so hard. Who would you say, Jen?
Only time I've ever gotten any particular idea of who you might sound like was on Elemental Child, where I thought it sounded like Ray Davies.
Yeah.
Well, that's the only one out of four
that's
hours.
That's what I would say.
Very odd.
First time I heard that song, I thought it was the Kings.
In fact, visual.
Was it Victoria?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That he was trying to sound like me.
Yeah, I saw an interview or something like that.
He told
said that.
He
yeah.
was trying to sound like weird.
That is
weird. He's very into couple of weird.
Were you
not in a nasty way? I don't
like
it.
Yeah.
I think you can do it. That's why I'm sure. I noticed the similarity in the voices in the Elemental Child.
Oh, and I've never listened that much to the Kings. Yeah. I love Ray's writing.
Who do you like?
I think the band let him down, actually.
Hmm.
I love him as a writer. I think he should.
You think the band let him down?
Musically, I mean, they don't move me. I love his writing. He's his personal man.
Yeah, I know.
And I think they're very good.
Yeah.
But I think live, they're not very good.
Yeah, they are.
They're terrible. And I can't
really
understand
are.
That, man. I can't fucking understand.
Yeah.
Tony, can you check out what's the dude next door?
The cash box phase. Yeah.
Because there's some champagne coming, because we should fluctuate it.
We
need
them.
Right, no, because we don't do a Jack Good. But there's some champagne we ordered an hour ago.
The Jack Good? Maybe it went next door.
Would it? I wouldn't like that at all. There's someone out, spaced
out.
Help
them out,
I'll
tell you.
Right.
Is that?
You take that, yeah. Champagne then, please. You want, come on down.
Champagne?
Of course you do.
That's nice. I like champagne.
It's that. Get on there, Tim. Can we get our main man together as well?
Oh, he's. That's all.
Yeah, I'm booging, so I've got that tape piece together.
If the champers is in there, it'll be with
me. No, but I meant the other gig.
That's together.
To have him, I never had a manager.
Yeah,
shut the door, man. Fuck off.
I'm not together.
I know. Shut the door, man. Shut the door.
Musically, who do you like?
Do you know the move?
Yes.
Yes,
well.
You know the move quite well.
Do you know about what?
About him.
Yeah.
Well, he formerly did that.
Right.
Broken Heart.
Yeah.
Moody Blues.
Hmm.
You know.
No, man, well, maybe I shouldn't
have. Did it all. No, he did it all. He did it.
He didn't.
And they all fucked him. Everyone
fucked
him. He came out cool. He was cool.
Well, we know about, like, him setting up the move on stage and smashing the TV sets and like that.
Man. He's history. History. I mean, he's living history. I haven't had a manager for 2 years now. The only man I wanted to go with. No, like one. We sat and we went to New York and we worked, and he worked for me for 2 weeks and did more in 2 weeks than people had done for 3 years, and didn't want a penny, man.
Yeah.
Didn't even didn't want another. So you said you're the big. You're the biggest thing that ever happened, and I want to be in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I rang him up 3 weeks ago and said, "Look, Tony, look, will you manage me?" He said, "Well, I don't know if I can do it." You know, and in England, man, we're like $30,000 a night, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, I don't know, man, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You got to do it. Where were we?
Oh, just going to know.
I'm rabid. Don't print all my bullshit, because it's not nice. Let's get. I don't see a little child. You won't. I mean, you won't print that stuff. Why
about Tony?
We're not, no.
If you don't want me to, just tell me what
we're
I
do. We're not, no, you mustn't be, because he'd be upset.
Okay,
because he wouldn't, you know, I don't say that to him. He'd be, but that would be embarrassing.
Okay, fine.
I'm too loose, man, with people. I forget, I don't know, and I assume that you're people to me.
Mm.
But why in England now, but it's weird.
Listen.
I tend to talk too much and people print it all. And I've gotten into so much trouble. Because I look on people as people, man, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they print it like you're
print everything,
like an animal, you know?
Yeah.
That's what's been freaking me out, you know? That's when I realized how big we really were. Was where everything I said they printed. You know, and they took that one line. You know, that one line out of context, right? You know, put it on the top.
Getting back.
No, please. Your question.
No, I just want to know about your musical likes, because...
I hate music, man.
What? I'll print that.
You print that if you want. The only thing I live for is music.
If there are any artists...
I love... Oh, man. Really so, there's a list that would fill up your whole fucking magazine.
Well, that's quite...
Actually, I mean, you want some. Robert Johnson, Eric Clapton, Jimi Hendrix, John Lennon, Jeff Lynne, Roy Wood, Pete Townsend. For singers, just on vocal chords, Howard and Mark, the Mothers. Guitarist, Jimmy Burton, Scotty Moore. Bob Dylan. I'm going.
How did you hook up with Mark and Howie?
We played in Detroit. The last gig of the Turtle.
Oh, all the way back there.
We 69, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We did 4 gigs in America. One was here.
Yeah, at the Experience, right? That was the last tour you did with Steve, right?
It's the only tour I did with Steve. Mm-hmm. What a bummer that was. Yeah. Who managed that place then?
Oh.
Because he was lovely.
Marshall
or someone?
Yeah.
Lovely.
Remitz.
Lovely man. He should get he should have a bullet. Give him a bullet.
He was a lovely man who was too nice to everybody, and that's why his club went down the tube.
Right. Now he was so nice to me.
Yeah.
There was Elmer. And we did the whiskey. Elmer was dynamite.
Yeah, I saw you.
And Elmer came up to me and said, very weird. I don't know where he's at. Only that he was a very nice man.
Mm-hmm.
Said, kid, I know, man. I know groups. I've been in Asia. Said, you are going to have the biggest group in America. In his head, I knew what he said. You know what I mean. That was sweet. Well, we filled it for 4 days, which I'm told is good. He thought it was dynamite. And we got paid about, like, nothing, you know.
Yeah.
So,
he loves it when he doesn't have to pay you and he gets a full credit.
Right. No, but I couldn't know. But he took a gamble, man.
Mm-hmm.
That's how people bought a new car. No. You know. But, I mean, it was a gamble. But it was nice.
Well, one thing I wanted to ask you about was your actual songwriting, the lyrics, you know, which you did the poetry, which is very... But I realized what you said about, you know, what she said initially about, you know, being fun and like that. But I was just wondering about some of your adjectives, like Mambo Sun or Alligator Rain. Did you just, like,
sounds good.
Do that because it sounds good? I mean, it does sound good.
That sounds good, doesn't
it? It does. But I guess, does that have anything else other than the sounding to it?
Yes. For me to explain would I'd have to cut you up or transpose you very small and put you inside my brain, really. There are certain things that an artist can't talk about, honestly. I'm not being evasive.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have an album?
Oh, you mean for the lyrics?
Let's stop the thing and let's give me an album and I'll tell you.
Mr. Me, it works.
You're slim and you're weak, you've got the teeth of the Hydra upon you. Do you know what a Hydra is?
Yeah.
That ain't weird, man. Compared to, you're talking about, you're a number one record for 8 weeks. You're putting in Greek mythology in a number one record. Mm. Is that not...
Well, I'm talking about the consistency of it, like, you know, because
you've
the Hydra
like
isn't...
You've got a car, you've got a hubcap, diamond star, halo. Come on.
Well, that's still
weird, but come on.
It's
come
not
on.
Like the Children of Rahn, though.
You haven't heard the Children of Rahn, have
you? Not the whole thing, just the song.
That's not even the beginning of a giant epic. That's that. It's a taste. It's a blowjob, man, that one.
Well,
what I wanted to relate to is some lines on. For instance, poetically, Ezra Pound did some things, some very straight poetic works, when he did one or two line poems, a couple of lines. He was rasped off, you know, rasped in English means, do you know what the rasped is? A spade word. Rasped in English means hacked off, you know, people had a go at it. You slide so good, which obviously means you slide so good with bones so fair. You've got the universe reclining in your hair.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if you've met a woman that has, in your estimation, every piece of knowledge that you know floating in the top of her head.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've met many people like that. Mm-hmm. Perhaps I'm a fortunate person. Mm-hmm. I can't accept any more. There's no way that there's no better poetry than that. Yeah. If Ray Bradbury was here, he'd agree with me. And I know he would.
Very intense.
I'm into everyone, man. I say him because he lives down the road and I haven't met him and I'd like to.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, as a poet, I've never written such good shit, man. The fact that I don't... It's not full of 15 pages of cascading castles and opaque caverns. It's very different. It's worth... It's lines on... The throne of time is a kingly thing, from whence you know we ought to begin, the beginning of time. And dressed as you are, girl, in your fashions of fate, which is your boogaloo, caftan, whatever you want to get into, right? It's too late. I mean, you know, how many ladies do you know that are hanging on to last week's patched jeans, thinking they're funky, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand what I'm... Perhaps I'm...
Yeah.
Shallow are the actions of the children of men. That's us, baby. Fogged with their vision since the ages began, Cain and Abel.
Mm-hmm.
And lost like a lion in the canyons of smoke pollution. Girl, it's no joke. Now, that's not poetry, man. There ain't no poetry.
Yeah. Well, that's something that I do like about it.
How can you dig that? And you know,
the words are really important.
You sort of answered the question that I had there.
No, that's all. I mean, look, it makes me cry because I just can't go to every single person who buys a ticket. I've been millions of people explaining to what the stuff means.
Well,
I don't write nonsense. But a lot of people in the press in England wrote this, a Dynamite album's going to be a number one album, but it's all nonsense, man, and I cry.
Mm. So that's one purpose, like for interviews and things like that. Yeah.
That's it, man. That to me, man, is that you know, top it, Dylan.
Yeah.
I want to hear him top it because I love him. I want him to top it, you know.
Well, he doesn't really write that way. I mean,
well, he can, man. He's topped it.
He can. Yeah.
I mean, if he sat down now, man, he'd top it. And he'd do it better.
Mm.
But we're not fighting. You got a duel, man. The Stones, we topped the Stones with Brown Sugar, we topped McCartney with Another Day, we topped Lennon with Power to the People in England. We got the number one on all those ones they couldn't top us.
Mm-hmm.
And they know it, man, and they fucking love it.
Because
it's not bullshit, man, we ain't filming in the home. They know that I know what they know, that I know it. Can you dig?
Yeah.
It's all the same, and we... I feel the stuff I heard that the Stones did there was...
You mean the new stuff?
Hot. Hot! It's all the same, man. It's not as hot as mine, is it?
Right, that's what I was going to say. It's your...
But I disagree. And for, to get, for me, the revelation this year for me is to have dudes that heavy knowing, accepting me, you know, not accepting, I mean, I don't need their acceptance, except, you know, like kinship, you know?
Yeah.
Southern kinship, baby.
Wow.
You know, like, we're the same, it's like, you know, I talk to anyone there, because I respect people as human beings. It's those people must know, they've seen all the shit, you know, McCartney said that, you know. He told me to watch out. you just said. You're going to dig it now, Mark. They're going to rip your pants off. But in 2 years' time, you're going to hate it.
Mm-hmm.
3 months later, man, I get tired.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows, man, and he told me.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows, and he's 7 years in, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But he also knows where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
So it was one of those. It was like a dynamite touch. Sorry, I'm cutting you off. You see. But it was important, though.
Oh, anything
but what was no? But what was important was that to matter to accept someone when they're total competition and not be worried about it, because you realise they're the same. I am totally paranoid of everyone, man.
Course.
Unless the no, let me just say, unless the people I think are as good as me, and all I want to do is watch them, man. You know, I don't give a fuck.
Also,
about
the
me.
Position that they're in too, because I don't think a John Lennon or a Rolling Stone. Established people like that they're really not all that paranoid or neurotic about their
sin. Bollocks, man, you are so off beam, baby.
Okay.
I want to tell you, everyone is paranoid.
Really?
Now, come on, you check it out, man. I'm telling you the truth. Everyone is paranoid from the day they're born to the day they die.
I guess they would be.
Every number one you get, the next one that follows, you've got to top it, man.
Yeah.
Or you ain't hot. You know, in this country, it's less than England.
Mm-hmm.
But you ain't hot, man. Number two, anyone else is a ginormous record. To you, man, it's a flop.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I've got a room full of silver discs, man. But if I put a record out and it only gets to number five, which is a big record, to me, man, it hasn't made it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fucking giving up. I was talking with Mick and those people about it. Man, they know, man. Every, you know, what you do is, in the end, you don't listen to radio.
Mm-hmm.
You don't look at charts, man.
Mm-hmm.
You back off. Which is what everybody's done. The Stones, Beatles, Dylan, everyone. It's slowly what I'm doing. Which is why I'm here, not in England. I told you, we're so hot there now, man. Mm-hmm. It's burning me.
Mm-hmm.
I had to get away.
Because
I was getting, man, I was getting like the phone never stopped ringing. You know what I mean? We had four TV shows on this week. Mm-hmm. And if you're at home, man, you've got to put them on. And I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I want to come and boogie. I don't want to see the Stones rocking. You know?
Mm-hmm.
The people watching it love, you know, it's good. We did good shows. We worked hard. I put everything in my whole being into it.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone's scared. Everyone.
Yeah, I could see a point about, you know,
it never stops. The mania is, it never fucking stops, man. How many number one records do you get to be secure when there's no security?
Mm.
There's no, you're gonna die, man. We're born to die. We're dying. You're getting old every day, man. You know.
Mm-hmm.
You got 40 years if you're lucky. End of story.
Mm-hmm.
Page two. How can you? What's this? You know, where's security? Where's the champagne? Right?
Yeah.
But where's security? Do you dig what I mean? Don't ever believe ever that there is anyone. Well, I'm a star.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think Bob Hope still does that yearly show, man? How old is he? Like, when I'm 69, man, don't get me on television.
That's,
you know, what? Think about it, man.
That's one thing I can't really imagine.
Well, you've got to imagine.
Well, anybody who's in rock and roll is a...
We're all... man, fucking road sweepers in rock and roll.
Living past 40.
You think about Howlin' Wolf, man, and those people...
Well, that's not what I consider... Like, say, with the long hair and the freaked out stuff.
You're talking about materialistic images.
Well, visual images.
Visuals. What's that, man? There's nothing.
When you watch TV, that's what comes across.
No, no. I could have, if Bob Hope came on and sung to me like Bessie Smith, man, I'd kiss his feet.
I don't think he's going to have to.
He wouldn't sing like Bessie Smith, though.
Yeah.
You dig what I mean?
Yeah.
Don't confuse the two. There's a difference.
So I'm just saying, with
the
me,
visual helps.
With me, I cannot see someone like you or Mick Jagger coming out on stage, like on a TV when they're 60 years old. I just cannot picture that.
But I just said this. I've given me 5 years, man.
Yeah.
About fucking 60, baby. In 2 years' time, man, I expect to be conducting the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah, well.
Because that's what I hear in my head.
Yeah.
If I'm not, then I'll retreat into my country, Welsh Island, and disappear. I'll send bootlegs out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say?
Make a movie, like you were saying.
Oh, movies, for sure.
Are you very much into films, or have you?
I'm into everything.
Yes. From a technical aspect.
I love everything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited by things that excite me visually. So.
Mm. It's really great. What does, as far as technicalities go,
yeah.
What exactly did Tony Visconti, like as far as his role as a producer, what does he do? Like, how does he work with you on the albums and stuff?
In the role of can you go next door and ask for the champagne, please?
Sure.
As an American producer, very little. He's an American. He's from the Bronx.
Mm-hmm.
He's my friend.
Mm-hmm.
He does what Jimmy Miller does for the stand. He's in the control room when I'm out the front.
Mm-hmm.
You do.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm in there doing it. I can't be going, bring. I go, Tony, how does that sound?
Yeah.
He goes, well, man, it's basic. Move the mic here, there. And I go, bring, but does it sound like Life's a Gas?
Yeah.
You know, I've got, you know, we're 4 years, man, you know, you get, and he says, well, it doesn't. I say, why, man?
Mm-hmm.
He said, well, I don't know, Mark, is it the strings? I say, no, man, put more top on it.
Yeah.
He'll put more top, and it'll sound like, and I'll do a comeback.
There you go.
He's
got some coffee and Coca-Cola,
and
I'll champ
in. Maybe, I said, what's the best? Said, but that's $24. I said, like, give me two more. Warner's paper, baby.
Well,
that's Tony's a gas. Tony, to me, is what every record producer should be.
Mm-hmm.
Is your main man.
Mm-hmm.
You're out there doing it, right? You
mm-hmm.
can't really judge what you're doing
mm-hmm.
until you go back and listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
If I do something I think it's amazing on set, you know, on stage, right? You know, on stage.
I know, which is playing it.
No, to me it's a stage. It's all, you know, I sit there,
yeah.
I visualize in my head an audience, and I go up and I hear it and it's terrible, I freak out.
Mm-hmm.
But Tony knows me, and I go up and it's exactly like I want to hear it. Because he knows, Tony spends all his time studying what I want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
The other people that Tony produces are very different than T-Rex.
Yeah.
The things that Tony does on his own are not really things that I personally feel very strongly about.
Mm-hmm.
But Tony with me...
How about like
the combination?
Like on some of the strings and stuff.
Oh, that's Tony.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, we work together on it.
Mm-hmm.
The only track on this album that I didn't tell him what, you know, not tell him what to write, we didn't work on it, was Cosmic Dancer.
Mm-hmm.
And I think his strings on it are phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
If he writes things that I don't like, I get very uptight about it.
Did you work this well with him, like even on the early albums too?
Always.
Does he ever use like the string parts if you really don't like them? Let's say like...
I'd sack him.
I think I'll write this down.
No, but Tony knows that. I mean, he wouldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because Tony has more respect for me. When that sounds hard, I don't mean that. I mean, if there's a part that isn't making it,
mm-hmm.
he knows it.
Mm-hmm.
It's ego game. I won't allow ego games.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't believe they're relevant to the people that want to hear the records.
Mm-hmm.
You know? If a garbage collector comes in and says, hey man, that tambourine's too loud. And I say, get out, man, right?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
And he shuts the door and I walk out and I listen and say, hey, man, the tambourine is too loud.
Mm-hmm.
You did?
Yeah.
I'll call the tambourine down.
Mm.
And I go out and give him $100. I've done that, man. You know. But what it's about is that it's the overall concept.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if, I judge by my heart. I can't, it's very hard for me to explain. I know what I'm doing. People have said, again, it's that whole choice, if people like it, cool, if they don't, cool. People in America, up to Electric Warrior, really, I don't think, have had the chance or been able to understand T-Rex.
Mm-hmm.
this is it, the first album now for America, right? Do you not feel, for real America, you know, Massive, this is the first album. Matt, you know, in England, which is a big market, you know, we're outselling everyone for 3 months on this album. And, you know, I thought, I knew it would be a big album. We would have a lot of big albums. But this is like, it's going to go gold in England.
Gold in England, that's the right.
I didn't expect that. I'm telling you, no, honestly. That freaked me. And only then, only now am I beginning to realize how big we are there.
Because,
and it's frightening.
Because you seem to be such a dominant part of T-Rep.
It's my band, man. I'm dominant. I mean,
why wouldn't you just call it Mark Bowen or T-Rep?
Because I don't want to be Donovan, man.
Well,
you dig what I mean? I'm not a solo performer.
Well,
I don't want to go on stage on my own. I'm a rock and roller. If I did it my own, I'd call it Mark Bolan and Friends.
Or the T-Rex band rather than... I mean,
T-Rex, why then? It's a better name. T-Rex is a nicer name, man.
It is.
Of course
you more or less associate T-Rex with you and Mickey. Which is like two... I don't know if like now you consider yourself a band or just the two of you.
It's a band.
Okay, then that's...
It's like, my band, but it's a band.
Okay, then that's different than if you still consider yourself...
It's got to be a band. I don't want to do it.
Is that... What's one reason why, like, on this one you use, like, a band, whereas on the other one you and Mickey did all the stuff, the previous one?
Because we spoke about that. T-Rex, the album before, was done 2 years ago.
Oh.
It was done before White Swan, and everything is me overdubbed.
Yeah, I know, that's
apart
what it have to be.
Right. I don't like doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't no Emmett Rose, man. I know, that's not my scene.
Do you find... yourself, are you like creative enough to do it all and like that? Do you know what you want?
Oh,
do you
I
find yourself ever limited?
I
mean, what I mean by
we're getting down to the nitty gritty.
I mean, it's
Pete Townsend's demo sounds exactly like The Who, man.
Mm-hmm.
I can play you an acetate of Who's Next, which sounds just like the fucking record. But that wouldn't give Pete any pleasure, man, because he loves the people in his band. And they're good people, and they're amazing musicians, and they do make it sound better.
Well, like when they say, in his case, an acetate, they say, well, here's...
I can play you.
Does John Entwistle listen to the bass line and play it exactly? Is that what you
mean? Of course not. Pete would... No. Pete would tell him what to play, right? And then he'll add that one note extra.
Oh, yeah.
Which makes it genius. No, you say, of course. A lot of people don't, man.
Oh, no.
A lot of people don't. You've got to find people that do.
Yeah.
The thing with my band is Steve, Bill, those dudes, I go and rehearse with them now, man, and they do it, and they play things that blow my mind.
Well, that's the point I wanted to make about you playing all the stuff, or like...
I don't want them, I don't have an overdub bass line, I don't want to be a Paul McCartney, you know, like that earlier, you know, sounds hollow. They, you know, I picked people that get off of my songs and can appreciate what I write, right?
Yeah.
But they can also, without intruding on my artistic territory, contribute beautiful works of music and excite me. As I said, it's not an ego, no, I'm Steve. There's a song called Spaceball Ricochet, which the bass Steve plays in it, man, is the best I've ever heard in my whole life. And I didn't even rehearse it with him. And he made me, I cried, man. Blew my mind. And that's why I do it. I'm not a selfish singer, man. I don't get a folk singer. I want to get them, they're my men, man. We just want to, you know, I want to look around and know where. We're going to kill them, and when we come here, we're going to fucking kill them.
Yeah.
We're going to have to, man. Because, you know, we're primed.
Does Mickey seem to like the way things are
going? Oh, Mickey is the dude of all time. Mickey's not a musician, he's an artist, he's a creator.
Yeah, that's what it was.
But Mickey's my man.
Yeah, exactly.
Mickey is the best conga player I've ever heard. He's not that hot at anything else, but he's the best conga player in the whole world.
I guess he has a good time doing what he's...
Oh, you want to see his visual, man. You're sitting there, he's hot. He hasn't reached a potential, you know. But working with, we have, you have Bill and Mickey with the hand drums. You've got Santana, man, in two people. But man, that good, man. We're going through 10,000 watts of PA on this area, panning across the exciting sound, too. But our boogie, I say it's one line. We'll finish on the line. We rehearsed. A session. We booked 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Right as a rehearsal session.
Mm-hmm.
And we played for 7 hours.
Mm-hmm.
We jammed for 7 hours. And we've been working together for a year now.
Mm-hmm.
We jammed for 7 hours now.
Do you want me to talk in one
of the guys? 7 hours now to jam with guys that you've just come off the road with for a month.
Yeah.
There's something going down.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And we still went out and we got out of our minds and we were still booming at 7 o'clock the next day.
Sounds really good.
But no, there's that.
Well, I mean...
You didn't, but that's where I'm at, man. I don't... Fuck your fucking rock and roll bullshit, man.
Bar.
There ain't no one in the rock business that's any good that isn't a sin. And if they're not into that man, they're an over. Which means an elbow, an English phrase for elbow.
Yeah.
Right? Cop that one. The heaven.
Okay. Are you?
Forgive me, we're supposed to do this other man.
Yeah,
I don't know. I'm
going
to. Have we got enough?
Yeah.
I'm sorry if I'm a bit slightly, but I guess I'm
good. Watt from Pedro Show. That's Mark Bolan, 1971. Doing a spiel.
Pretty classic, classic feeling.
Yeah, absolutely. And he was a trip. Too bad he died at 29. Didn't even make 30. He's a pretty intense character. He was the first guy I had on my wall. At that gig, I bought a poster. Bootlegger Son Outside for $2, and I put him on my wall. It was like some Xerox of Ride a White Swan and with Mickey Finn cut up.
One and a two and a bubbly bubbly boo boo, yeah.
A buckle my shoe.
That's been a heck of a first show to see.
Yeah, a lot of Hare Krishnas were in the crowd, and it was pretty wild. It was pretty wild. Yeah, and he did do like 10-minute guitar solos in every tune. And he was saying there, you know, 7 hours of jamming. Oh, my God. My poor forearm. Getting ready to record Friday. 6 days, and my arm is sore, but I'm going to be up to it. Joe gave me a bunch of live T-Rex, too, and we'll play that in some future shows. In the meantime, we're coming to the end of the first hour here, Watt from Pedro Show, January 10th, 2004 edition. It's sunny. I know the rest of the country's in a deep freeze. It snowed in Portland.
Wow.
It was a wind chill below zero in the northeast. And
yeah, it's like really nice.
Here in Pedro, calm. But still can't pedal, still can't paddle. Got to heal. Okay, folks, hang tight for hour two. January 10th, 2004. It's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro Show.
like a fake horse making a pass. You all along that it wouldn't last. Never meant anyone any harm. Got blocked up when she turned the alarm. I'm gonna pull it to you. Pull it to you.
So cool in her
Watt from Pedro show.
Got it.
That was Devin Hoff with his new dealio called Devin Hoff Platform. Bass player from San Francisco. He plays with Nels Klein Singers. Great guy. That was a song called Refusenik. Before that, we had Bargain Music. They got a new record. Now, only Josh has left. Everybody's quit Bargain Music. Even Sean. I remember Josh telling me, if Sean quits, it's over. But it's not over. He's still going. All right. Hear that
chirping.
Little song, that little bird?
You're chirping.
Anyway, that's a song called Crank from Long Beach's own Bargain Music. The only cat I know in the band now is a guy named Zippy from Sacramento. Josh is a great singer, great guy. He'll get through this. We start off the second hour with Texas Terry.
Cool.
Doing a song called Dirty Action.
Yahoo.
From her great record, My Lips. No, Your Lips, My Ass.
Classic.
And now it's time, without any further ado, the Righteous Rotations. Brother Matt, Spin Cycle.
Yeah. Ooh, thank you. We'll be right back.
queen and the lobby meeting. Yeah. I am Ika Mouse, 6 feet six above sea level. And it's time for the I edition with Brother Matt. Yeah.
So that train, you know? Man, I deal with so that train, you know? Go away. deal with so doctrine, you know. Doctrine go away.
for you. I'd do anything for you, for you. There ain't nothing I wouldn't do for you. Your beauty makes the sun rise for you. The moon also shines for you. For you. For you. Creation was created for us too. For you. I'll never make you blue. For you. The stars were placed there for you. For you. Eternity flies on through and through. For you. For you. Love me too.
Watt from Pedro show. Oops. Forgot to turn that down. That was the Aquarium Poppers with From the Movie of the Same Name, which is on a Tom Rapp tribute record called The Dead in Space. Before that, we had For You, I'd Do Anything by Rocky Erickson. And before that, All Saints Day in Someone Else's Town by Removal with their special guest, yours truly, Watt. That's something I did with these Vancouver cats. Actually, this guy named Ernie, he's from the U.S., but moved to Canada a few years ago and asked me to come up when I, well, I was already going to go up there to play bass for friends of mine in this band, Station 8, because their bass player fell off a roof. So I filled in for him on some tracks, and I went over to Ernie's and buddy of his studio and did this, read a poem of mine over some music he had recorded with his band Removal, and it was for a thing for Doctors Without Borders benefit thing. And before that, of course, Brother Matt Spin Cycles, some great spins there, Brother Matt.
Cool, thanks.
On the slamming cyclic
that's
CD.
Clams today.
Not so much clamage? No?
Not too many.
Oh, I was a smoking go around. So, wow, not much spiel on this show. Here we are. We're already coming up on the end of the second hour, the January 10th, 2004 edition of Watt from Pedro Show, Sunny San Pedro. Blessed with the good weather. And any of you people in the deep freeze, be bundled, be warm. Get some hot soup in you. And keep toasty, because we don't want any more sickness going around. Hopefully this flu thing has been peaked, rode its dealio out. Hang tight. Because we got another hour left, including intense, incredible Adventures of Jack Flanders coming up. So hold tight. Hour 3 coming up. January 10th, 2004, the third hour of the Watt from Pedro show. Here's part 6, The Incredible Adventures of Jack Flanders.
And now, for today's thrilling adventure, Bad Day at Dragon's Breath. Jack Flanders has been given a large, overstuffed green velvet chair. When he sits in the chair, he finds himself in another realm, a strange, exotic world where great three-masted sailing ships fly the skies. It's evening. We find Jack back home in his living room. A church bell tolls the midnight hour. Jack paces the room.
Midnight. There it is. The chair. Calling me again. All right. Just wait a minute. Not yet. I'm going to take the Marquis's cloak and top hat. I think this hat is full of tricks that just might come in handy. All right, quit pulling. You know I'm going to sit down.
Walking again. Sky Galleon. I'm back on board the Blue Swallow. Who's that? Little Frida? Little Frida, what's so funny?
The top hat.
Oh, I guess I do look pretty silly, huh?
No, just funny.
Well, oh, God, it's cold out here, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is that snow down there?
Yeah.
Ooh, the stars even look cold, don't they?
Yeah.
Where are we headed?
Odd.
Ah, what's Odd?
That's where we're headed. The northernmost city of Odd.
Oh. Well, why are you standing out here? Keeping watch?
Mm-hmm. I was watching for you.
Well, you expected me then?
Sure. I wanted to thank you. You were really brave, Jekko, bargaining with the Lords of Death.
Oh, it was nothing. Look, I am sorry about Dr. Missoula, though. I tried to help.
Dr. Missoula's okay.
He is? I thought he was dead.
He is dead. He's okay.
Oh.
He said if you ever need his help, just call on him.
Well, I'll remember that. Oh, God, I'm freezing to death.
Why don't you go below?
Well, I don't want to run into Captain Swallow, you know.
He's asleep.
Oh, that's good to hear.
No, not really. He snores.
Well, look, I'll see you in the
Captain
morning.
Captain Swallow would like to thank you.
Oh?
For saving my life.
Oh.
But Captain Swallow has never said thank you. He doesn't know how.
Well, I know. Look, the wind is getting worse. I don't know how you can stand it up there.
I find it quite invigorating.
Oh, well, to each his own. Good night, little Frida.
Night, Jack.
Oh, that's Captain Swallow's candle. I'll just tiptoe past. Uh-oh.
Randers.
Yes, sir.
Step in here.
Aye, aye, sir.
Close the door, Flanders. Been to see the Flying Dutchman?
What?
Have a nice time at the opera.
Huh?
That silly top hat and cape you're wearing.
Oh, well, actually, this belongs to the Marquis.
Shut up, Flanders. I got something to say. What are you staring at?
Well, that wanted poster on the wall, sir.
Wanted for crimes of high piracy, the Black Mona Lisa? Have a closer look.
No, I don't think...
I said, have a closer look.
But, sir, every time I look at her picture, it... Oh, God.
Mustache peers beneath her nose. Our nose.
Why is that?
Oh, you're a cursed man, Flanders.
Well, I don't understand.
Sit down.
All right.
Hand me my pipe there.
Oh, here you are.
Got your match?
Well, sure.
Across the snowy hills they fly. The icy moon casts an eerie light upon the sparkling, frosty fields below. The cold wind increases. Dark clouds move across the moon. Rain begins to fall, freezing on the deck. The great wings, heavy with ice, creak and groan. The north wind howls and the sleet pours down.
Flanders, I want to thank you for saving the child's life.
Well, sir, I just...
Shut up. Flanders, I don't know why you keep materializing aboard my ship or what you'll be up to.
Well, Captain Swallow, it's just that I...
Shut up. Life is hard. My life is no heaven on earth. But Flanders, with you around, it is sheer hell. I don't like you, Flanders. I don't want to see you again.
Captain! Captain!
What now?
We've dead settled into an ice storm, Captain.
We'll take her above the storm.
Can't do it, Captain. The ship be taken with ice. We'd be losing altitude.
All right, all right. I got this to say to you, Flanders. If I ever again catches you materializing aboard my ship, I'm going to do something real bad to you, Flanders. Do you say that?
But... The bell.
Oh, God, not pirates.
Pirates, home!
On a night like this.
They've commenced the fire, Captain.
All hands on deck! Step lively now!
Hermit Trouser.
The ship suddenly springs to life as all hands scramble up upon the icy deck. They slip and slide and collide and spin on their backs, trying to reach the canvas.
No, brother. Hmm.
They be laughing at us, Captain.
We'll see how much they laughs with a cannonball down their gullet.
Prepare for broadside!
Prepare for broadside!
Prepare for broadside! Prepare for
I hate them bloody snark, brother!
You there, with the cape and silly corvette! What do you think this is, a masquerade ball?
No, sir, I was...
Heads up!
Wing?
The stabilizer, Captain.
Damn them sniggering snorts! Fire at will!
Fire at will!
Fire at will!
Oh, shut up! And fire!
Captain!
Uh-oh.
We be floundering in the north winds, Captain.
Aye. Trim the sails!
Trim the sails!
Trim the...
Captain!
That's one way to trim the sails!
The winds be whipping us wild, Captain.
The ship is caught in the fierce north winds, turning around and around, out of control.
Hold yourself a crew! You worthless, superfluous, yellow, streaky, feet, scurvy, white-livered, crawling centipedes! Listen to me!
Who said that?
Be Flanders. Stuck beneath the rubble, Captain.
Good.
Hit those lines free! Lie forward to the quarterdeck. Look aloft. See where the hell we are.
The winds have taken us out across the Sea of Limbo, Captain.
The ice be melting, Captain.
Not fast enough.
You there! Sound the bow!
Sounds all right.
No, you blubber-brained saphead. I'll sound your skull. Sound off the bow!
Oh.
Suddenly the winds stop. An ominous calm settles in.
400 meters and descending.
The mists be too thick to see, Captain.
Arr.
What's that smell?
Perfumey.
You don't think it's one of my men?
200 meters.
No, no, too warm. Sweet and pungenty.
Must be the mist.
Arr.
100 meters and descending.
Be more a breath. Then a miss.
Who said that?
I said that.
The true old moth-eaten Eddie.
This be an unnatural mist, Captain Swallow.
Uh-oh. What do you mean, uh-oh?
Jagged cliff dead ahead.
Uh-oh. The ship comes to a crashing halt, stuck upon the jagged cliff.
Go and move!
We've got us a delicate balance here.
Help! I can't see!
Who the hell's staggering around out there?
Be Flanders, Captain.
Look here, Flanders! Don't move!
Get me out of there!
We can't hear you, Captain. Is that bad be crushed down to his shoulders?
Get me out of there!
Flanders, damn it! Don't move!
The sky galleon groans free and topples off its precarious perch. Like a giant crippled bird, the winged galleon falls, flapping downward.
We be in the sea.
Captain.
What?
Methinks the ship be sinking.
Aye. I'll get you for this, Flanders.
What did I do?
You two. Come over here and pop that silly hat off him.
Aye, aye.
I got plans for you.
Oh, you practically pulled my ears off.
You'll wish they had when you hears what I got to say.
Oh, it wasn't my fault.
What? Land?
The tide be taking us in, Captain.
Look, a city.
A city? Well, now, appears we have a change of luck here.
Not so, Captain Swallow.
Eh?
'Tis back in legend we lands, Captain.
What are you saying, old moth-eaten Eddie?
He gazes upon the cursed city of Ore, for we be cast into the isle be known as the Dragon's Breath.
The Dragon's Breath?
I've heard me strange tales of these isles.
Aye, the mists, they never lived.
Why Dragon's Breath?
Sniff of that mist, be more breath than mist. See the way that city be built, lad. Straight up the sides of that cliff. And the streets, they twist upwards like crazed sea serpents they do. And the buildings, all domed, you see, white and oval as eggs, set one atop another, straight up the side of the cliff, disappearing into the mists.
Who were the people who built this city?
We be drifting past the shore, Captain!
Aye. All hands prepare for dry dock!
Prepare for dry dock!
Prepare for dry dock!
You there! Get that rope and over the side!
You expect me to leap into that pounding surf?
I'll give you a pounding surf. Get over!
Yay!
Heave to, lads! Heave to!
Using the driftwood logs, the ship is rolled up out of the snarling sea.
Damage report!
The keel shouldn't be cracked.
The port wing be crippled.
Or enough stabilizer be crunched.
The rudder be gone.
The hull in the full big chamber.
The center mast is missing.
Numerous cannonball pocks upon the deck and hull.
Oh, the sooner she's fixed and we're out of here, the better.
Aye. No visitor ever welcomed here upon the Dragon's Breath.
Martha and Eddie, you're giving me the shivers.
If we work in shifts, we'll have her repaired by sunup tomorrow.
Speaking of shifts, where's that ship that's found us?
He went off exploring, Captain.
Good. Remind me to leave him here.
A huge dark shadow passes swiftly over the city, rippling down across the white domed buildings, and disappears.
What was that? Dunno. It was above the mists.
Hey, did you see that?
Yeah. Big, wasn't it?
I'll say. Sure was.
Jack and little Frida climb the winding streets high above the pounding sea.
How could anybody live up here?
What do you mean?
Well, it's so steep. There'd always be the danger of losing your footing and rolling back down into the sea.
Maybe they had claws instead of feet.
Yeah, very funny. Hey. There's a cave up there.
Mm-hmm.
The opening, it sort of resembles a
mouth.
Yeah. And look at these stalactites. They're almost like
fangs.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Hey, look at this.
What?
Wall paintings. Your basic dragon motif.
Hmm. Nice detail.
I wonder what this cave was used for.
Probably an archive. Maybe a treasure trove.
Treasure, huh? It seems to slope downward. It goes way back into this mountain.
Bowness and timber will shave down fine for the settermast, Captain.
Good.
Appears to be some strange things among the driftwood, Captain.
What?
Shells.
Shells? What do you expect to find upon a seashore but shells, you ninny?
Nay, it is eggshells.
So?
Giant eggshells.
How giant?
Big as a man.
Cracked or intact?
Cracked open.
Just the shells.
Shells.
Do you notice the way these walls seem to glow?
Phosphorescent pigments.
You know, these murals depict a story. Look, it begins with the dragons inhabiting the islands. Then you can see the people landing. And over here, look, it's the great battles. The dragons seem to be winning by the looks of it.
Dragons have tremendous mental powers.
Oh, a hero arrives with lightning coming from his sword. Now the dragons are getting the worst of it. On here, look. This is apparently the final battle. You can see the last few dragons slinking off. The mist is gone. And, well, this looks like a... What is this?
Let's see. Oh, wow.
You there.
Hi, Captain.
What are you doing out of focus?
Beg your pardon.
Beg me pardon. Get back in focus.
Ye be the one not in focus, Captain.
For hell, I'm not.
Ye be correct, Captain.
Listen to me, you fuzzy boneheads. Your captain's always in focus. Steady!
Look, little Peter, the faces on this wall painting, they seem to be losing their features. The heads are becoming long and oval.
Like eggs.
Yeah, eggheads.
Maybe they were evolving into a higher intelligence.
The mural continues over here. Oh, good Lord, the whole bodies are eggs now, with just little hands and feet sticking out. And here they can't even stand upright anymore. They're rolling down the streets into the sea, just floating off with the tide.
Wow.
And that's it. That's the end of the mural.
But the cave goes on.
Yeah. What do you think?
Let's go deeper.
It's too dark.
It's okay. I can see in the dark.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
Come on, Jacko.
All right. Why not?
Captain Swallow, we've siphoned off the gas from the reserve chamber. We'll be able to rise aloft, but I don't know how close we'll clear them waves.
Your captain'll say to that.
If the winds be favorable, we might be...
I don't like your shame.
Well, you're looking pretty over yourself, Captain.
Don't get smart with me, you eggheads. Get back to work!
Little Frida, do you have any idea how deep we've come?
I don't know, Jackal, but I...
What?
That...
Something is glittering. Oh, my God, it's a classic treasure trove.
Oh, look at this stuff, Jackal.
Jewels.
Coins.
Rings.
Bracelets.
Necklaces.
Boy, Jackal, we're rich.
And it's all real, isn't it?
Boy.
Wait till Captain Swallows.
Boy.
Little Frida.
Look at this bracelet.
Little Frida.
Huh?
There's someone sitting over there.
Uh-oh.
Shine your eyes over there.
I'd rather not.
I think you'd better.
Okay.
It's not moving.
Is it a mummy?
I guess so. He's dressed in some sort of battle gear.
A warrior mummy.
Look at the way he just sits there. So regal.
Yeah. Look at the sword he's holding. Whew.
Strange symbols engraved all the way down the length of the blade.
Runes.
No, it's still perfect. There's no rust at all.
Runes. Magic. Runes.
Oh.
You know, he's sad.
Oh?
His thoughts are still here.
They are?
The blue swallow will be patched, more or less, Captain.
If we don't leave now, we may never escape the curse of the dragon's breath.
Ah! Hoist the sails! Prepare to cast off!
What about Flanders?
I'm the child.
Prepare to cast off!
Prepare to cast off!
Prepare to cast off!
Prepare to cast
off! Can you see the mummy's thoughts?
You can hear him.
A strange madness set in.
I'm trying to get to my sequence. It's kind of all over the place.
The mists returned.
A
strange madness set in.
They believed as the days drew on.
My ancestors slayed the dragon.
At first my eyes saw not
descended upon our land.
My ancestors slayed the dragon.
Became smooth.
As oval as eggs.
Faces losing
their features.
The complete torso.
Eventually only hands and feet.
Others
lost their footing, rolled down the streets to the sea.
As this madness spread,
I withdrew into this cavern.
Now
stayed the madness from my mind.
And the last of my soul.
I leave to
beware the powers of these ancient runes.
In time,
seek.
I say to thee who comes after.
The Velvet Realms.
This sword.
Oh my God, look at that. The sword, it just slid right off his lap.
It's yours, Jack.
But I don't think I want
Take it.
But what am I going to do
the
with it?
The Velvet Realms, you know.
Venus Velvet?
Come, Juan, let's go.
But what about the pile of jewels?
Just take the sword, and don't forget the scabbard.
All right. Oh, God, this sword is heavy. It's just what I need. A heavy magic sword. Now I've got a cloak, a velvet chair, a top hat, and a heavy sword. I'll have a whole collection by the time I finish this series.
Jack and little Frida hurry from the cavern.
Look! Down there!
The ship is afloat.
Look! On the deck!
Good Lord, they're all rolling around like eggs.
Come on, Jacko!
They hurry down the hill as the ship slowly rises off the beach. Jack leaps and grabs the tip of the wing.
Little Frida, grab my feet.
They crawl up the webbed wing and on board.
Watch out, they're rolling all around the deck.
Wow-wee.
Take the wheel, we're headed into the cliffs. What? Who is this?
I think it's Captain Swallow.
God, he looks like a giant egg.
With little hands and feet. It's me.
Here, Captain, let me help you stand up. Oh, my God, he fell over. Uh-oh.
Did he crack himself?
Well, just slightly. He's still inside that shell. Well, how am I supposed to crack an egg that size?
Remember that silly sword, you gawking loony.
All right. You asked for it, Captain.
Oh! Not atop my head, you numbskull!
Well, one more should do it. Looks like the yolk's on you, Captain.
That's enough of your wisecracking! Get some ball-peen hammers and we'll crack me crew!
Ball-peen hammers?
In me ship's toolbox, bovine brain.
Right. Whatever you say.
We're rising above the mist, Captain Swallow.
Come here with these hammers, Flanders! I'll crack me crew myself.
Jack, there's something coming up out of the mist.
Where? Oh, my God, it's a dragon.
A what? My God, she's twice the size of my ship.
It's coming after us.
All hands, man the cannon!
Maybe it thinks we're escaped eggs.
Ah, that thing sits on us, we'll be fattened into the sea. Prepare for the
assault! Here it comes!
Ah!
Watch out! She's firing back!
Oh, that's real fire!
She's firing back! Here she comes again!
Fire!
Did we hit anything?
Oh, here she comes! There she goes again!
Is she settling down upon us? Look out!
What?
Stroke the magic runes and tickle her belly.
Suddenly, lightning flashes from the sword. She wrenches the dragon's belly. It explodes with laughter and disappears.
She's gone!
Goodbye, Jack.
What?
You're fading again.
I am?
Yeah.
Well, I'll see you next time.
Oh, no, you don't.
Listen to me, Flanders. Don't come back. You hear, Flanders? Don't come back, you bonehead.
Morning again. Well, Jeff, what do you have planned for next time? Perhaps a face-to-face confrontation with the Black Mona Lisa herself, huh? I just hope she doesn't have a mustache.
Thank you. We'll be right back. spot for Pedro's show. Oh, gotta do that. God, I wish we had a mic, but... that was Robert Wyatt, formerly of the Soft Machine, with At Last I Am Free. He's a guy who took ill and walked out a window and was paralyzed from the neck down the rest of his life. So keep the windows closed when you're tripping. That's the lesson you learned there. That's funny. Los Altos Blues by Steve McKay with the Radon People. Before that, and we started off the third hour with part six. Oops. No, there was the Boo Radleys with I've Lost the Reason. And before that was part six of The Incredible Adventures of Jack Flanders. Jack tripping. Windows wide open. Here's Mike Mart, Watt from Pedro Show.
real heart. Thank you.
protected, and I'm protected. No, it never scares me. Thanks to you, that I'll be protected. But it never relates me. They try to stop the fascists.
Lot from Pedro Show. That's the Tools from like 25 years ago. The Adopted Procedure. Before that, No Dose from Calexico. Preceded by I Live My Life by Richard Hell. And we started it off with Shoes from Mike Mart, his new record. Coming on down now. The end of another edition of the Watford Pedro Show, the January 10th, 2004 edition. Brother Matt, thanks so much for the essential assist and your most excellent spin on the cycle.
Cool, thanks.
Yeah, no problem. And I'm dedicating this show here to Rick Van Satten, a true brother, great cat. Wonderful man. I think of him always. Next week, well, maybe Victor. We get him to be guest because he's got some music from overseas.
All right.
Yeah, a couple weeks now I've been meaning to bring him on over, but we'll make it out next week, brother man.
Cool.
Thanks again.
Certainly.
All you folks. Keep your powder dry.